and welcome to the Provider Podcast. I'm Adam Brimelow. It's the toughest time of the year for the NHS. Winter pressures are with us, fueled by seasonal bugs, flu and COVID. Staff are stretched and the ongoing industrial dispute, resulting in yet more strikes over the festive period, continues to take its toll, impacting on patients and staff as they strive to offer safe, timely care. Inevitably, we've seen delays and disruption, underlining yet again the need for a rapid resolution. So these are difficult days, but as we'll hear in this podcast, there's great work going on with Truss and their partners pulling together to help ensure patients get the right care in the right place and support flow through the system. But first, what's the data saying on NHS performance this winter? And how does it compare to last year? I've been talking to Hannah Long, research analyst at NHS Providers.
So last year we had the perfect storm of COVID and the return of flu, which was against the backdrop of increased demand and workforce challenges. This year it's a bit more of a mixed bag. The data show that operational pressures remain high. So we're still seeing high bed occupancy averaging around 93% so far this winter. We're also seeing more beds closed due to diarrhea and vomiting and more patients arriving by ambulance. And we continue to see patients waiting too long. In December, there were 44,000 patients waiting longer than 12 hours in A&E from the decision to admit to admission, which although is down a fifth from last year, it is considerably higher than what was being observed prior to the pandemic. But there are also some improvements in other areas. Time lost due to ambulance handover delays was down 56% in Christmas week, which is a huge achievement and testament to the hard work of staff working across systems. And we're also seeing marginal improvements in length of stay and delayed discharges.
So definitely a system under stress. And you mentioned those 12-hour waits there. I mean, I know that's one of the indicators that people look out for, isn't it, for safety. So clearly a system that is absolutely running hot. How are things feeling for Truss outside of emergency care?
So outside of emergency care, there have also been some improvements. The elective care waiting list fell for the second consecutive month, which is a step in the right direction. And we also saw a reduction in the community health services waiting list. Although data from November shows over 950,000 people on this waiting list, some of who have been waiting longer than a year, so this remains considerably high. And we're also seeing high levels of mental health referrals in November, over 450,000, which is around 38% more than prior to the pandemic.
Yeah, and just looking at some of those factors behind some of these trends, there's some particular pressures at play this year, aren't there?
Yeah, so although so far we've seen a lower community prevalence of flu and COVID, these illnesses are on the rise, so we can expect to see these getting worse as the weather gets colder. We've also seen increased demand across urgent and emergency care. So, as I said, more patients are arriving by ambulance this winter. And in December, there were 2.2 million A&E attendances, which is also an increase from the month before. And all of this is compounded by staffing pressures. And trust leaders also are having to prepare for the ongoing industrial action.
Of course, that's a really significant factor that looms large in the minds of everyone at the moment, in the hope, of course, that some kind of resolution can and will be found as a matter of urgency. Just thinking back to that urgent and emergency care recovery plan, that set out targets, didn't it, for A&E waits and ambulance response times. Is the NHS on track to meet these by the end of March?
As it currently stands, these targets are not being met. For ambulance, most recent data shows around 15 minutes off the target, but this is still a huge improvement from where we were at the same point last year. So ambulance staff will be aiming high to meet this target. But in terms of A&E, December was a challenging month and performance did move in the wrong direction. But again, this was an improvement from a year ago, and trust leaders will be working hard to meet this target by the end of March.
Hannah Long there. I mentioned earlier that in the midst of really severe pressures, trusts are looking for ways to maintain and improve care for patients. It's a recurring theme of our Trust Visits programme. And this example from Great Western Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust featured in a recent visit by our Chief Executive, Sir Julian Hartley, was really impressed by the Integrated Care Alliance Coordination Centre. This brings together staff from a range of services in one room to improve patient flow across the hospital and the community. It's a great example of collaboration supporting effective decision making. The Trust Chief Operating Officer, Felicity Taylor-Drew, told me more.
The aim of the Coordination Centre is to tackle the pressures that we face in the health centre, predominantly at the front door, so the unplanned attendances, and also make sure that what we call our back door, so the discharges from our community hospitals and our acute hospital, are supported to get the patients into the right place at the right time. It came about through some fantastic work locally. So was absolutely part of the key foundations we've got with our local authority, Swindon Borough Council here. And we work in partnership with them. And so my deputy and one of our acute medical colleagues coalesced on this idea, having seen it elsewhere in the north in a similar way. And we work with our ambulance service to support looking at the ambulance arrivals and seeing if there was something we could do to support the paramedic crews to either arrive at our hospital in a different location than the emergency department, or also to potentially stay at home and be supported in a different manner, which would just be super for those patients. And it grew from then.
So what you're describing really is a really effective joint working relationship. That's often more easily said than done, but you're liaising with ambulance services at the front door through to social care at the back door. How straightforward was it to establish those effective relationships, that successful dialogue?
So it's definitely been a journey, absolutely. And as I said, I think supported by the foundations that we had with a number of partners across the system. I think what was really different here and the journey that we've been on is physically having them co-located in the same room. And so what we've done now is we've got to a situation where we're part of a broader system across Bath, North East, Somerset, Wiltshire and Salisbury. And what that's enabled us to do is be a spoke for a hub that sits in Chippenham as well. And what's really been critical about that is having that work with the data right in front of you in the room, so you can see the ambulance arrive live, or in fact, you know, when the crews are on scene, and right through to the patients we've got across our organisation and community, being an integrated trust. And then what we've done is we've supplemented that with support from other colleagues across other professions, so different local authorities, Wiltshire, Berkshire, Gloucester, being in the room physically, and then supported by other colleagues such as mental health professionals and end of life colleagues. So not every day of the week, but as that touch point. And it's just meant brilliant relationships with staff have really organically grown as well, and just been so critical. So absolutely a journey, and a journey that we still remain on, but having those services co-located and having that touch point, that central location place, we are now operating as a spoke, as I said, has just been fantastic for the staff, I think, as well.
Yeah, so you're really pulling together to bring about benefits for patients, staff and overall patient flow. And do you have evidence building up to demonstrate the effect that you're having?
Yeah, we've got some great results from December 2023. So thanks to the work of the Coordination Centre, and it is multidisciplinary, we've redirected 1,387 patients. They were going to arrive at the emergency department. Now, we may have redirected them to within our own services, but also we showed that we had a number of patients who were referred back to their primary care colleagues, and they were given medical advice and stayed at home. We also had a number of ambulance crews, so we spoke to 350 ambulance crews in December 2023. 15% of those, then we were able to offer an alternative pathway. Also, we've had a number of care homes, so we have a clinical navigator role that is providing support based in Swindon, but for the whole of the broader system across BSW. And we have 389 contacts from care homes across the December month. And that will have offered them enormous support as well. And it will have demonstrably impacted the journey of a patient. So rather than them potentially being conveyed from their home, they've been able to stay in their residential or care home and supported to stay there with the staff live supporting them. So I think that sense of achievement and hope that you get from working in such an environment has been brilliant for staff. But I think also, you'll never be able to replicate that kind of water cooler moment where they talk to each other about their practices. And I think that that's just been inspiring for all of them.
Yeah, and you talk about that sense of achievement. I'd be curious to know, what are the cost implications for a project like this? Presumably there's an upfront investment, but in the end, it saves you money.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of it has a cost to it, absolutely. But some of it was about moving existing staff. So local authority colleagues, work in our environment anyway. They worked in the acute hospital base. And so what we asked is if they could relocate into a space that we've created. And that was set up, again, as I said, led by my deputy fabulously, and is very standard. So it doesn't matter which organisation you come from. It absolutely is open and welcome to all. But the savings that we will have generated absolutely will be about lower emergency department attendances than we would have had given the population growth that we've got, and also a reduction in length of stay. And that's not cash releasing, is what we would say in the NHS, isn't it? But it has definitely related to a reduction in bed days. I think the other thing that we haven't proved in terms of cost yet is the saving to social care. I think undoubtedly there will have been some patients who we have put on a different pathway, and we have proven this by offering them home first and speeding that discharge up, which can initially feel quite threatening. But what it's enabled us to do is move patients onto requiring less care than they would have done if they'd stayed in the acute for a longer period of time. And a long stay in hospital isn't great for the majority of patients. That's not what they need. So I think there has definitely been some savings that you would like to have said we would have spent that money had we not done this.
And Felicity, as with every new project, challenges can arise. You can encounter bumps in the road and find a way through. Did you have any particular challenges along the way with this one?
I think the speed would be one of those things. So the speed at which it evolved and how quickly we were able to access all the right data that we needed live and in the room has been integral to taking this forward. But of course, we are on lots of different systems across the NHS and social care. So I think we found ways around that because we're co-located and we're using the same information. But definitely, just having that live real-time data was a surprising barrier on one level. I think the speed of change I mentioned because I think it's felt different for everyone. I think it is about doing the right thing for patients. But I think there are different philosophies, if you like, between different groups of staff working in health and social care about what the right thing is to do for a patient. And so I think those cultural barriers are still in operation. I think the speed, it's evolved, is changing. We're now a sort of spoke that do the care home piece with our clinical assessors, but we're working with our out-of-hours provider through the system as well. So a challenge to in a financially constrained environment to continue to fund and support some more of this work. So there's something about having faith in the left shift, as we call it. So absolutely, wanting to have a hospital that's not at full occupancy, is very hard when you're at full occupancy to not want to fight that fire. And you have to pay attention to the prevention agenda or that kind of left shift. So community and care at home. And that's a real risk when you're facing, really full hospitals across community and acute sectors. So I think it can be tough.
So particularly satisfying then to see the sorts of benefits that you're delivering on this. And I guess especially so at a time of increased pressure through the winter.
Yeah, and we've not got it right all the time. So I think, there's just something really beneficial about holding on to that hope at the moment in the NHS and that fact that we can work collaboratively. We don't argue about the data or the journey that a patient might get on. You've got that sense of teamwork together. But that's not to say that this has meant it's not been a panacea. Swindon hasn't had we've had our rough patches during December 2023 and January 2024, just like other hospitals will do. And so what's really important is that we stick to this ethos of left shift and continue to work together and to do the best for our patients. And I know that our staff enjoy working in that environment together, you know, with that kind of one mission for our patients. And that's been really, really great to see.
Felicity Taylor-Drew there. And there are a lot more examples of work that's being done by trusts to handle seasonal pressures in our Winter Watch series, which is very clearly signposted on the homepage of the NHS provider's website. Before I go, a quick reminder for all NHS communications colleagues, the NHS Communicate virtual conference is coming up in a few weeks. It's a great opportunity to learn and be part of the debate about the big challenges facing the profession and some of the solutions. Go to the NHS Communicate website, nhscommunicate.org, to book your place. That's it for this time. Thanks again to our contributors, Hannah Long and Felicity Taylor-Drew. Remember, you can join in the conversation by following us on X, formerly known as Twitter, and LinkedIn at NHS Providers with the hashtag The Provider Podcast. And keep up to date on future episodes by subscribing to the podcast. Thank you.